Ellis East Elementary walkthrough, May 18th. Classroom 2B. The door to the classroom is a split door, and the top is open. The bottom is locked, but I can lean over and unlock it. For purposes of orientation, Classroom 2B is directly above the kindergarten classroom, while Classroom 2A, which we just left, is above Classroom 1A. This classroom is empty. Like, honest to goodness empty. There are no shelves, no blackboards, no boxes, nothing. The walls are bare, exposed bricks. There is literally nothing else here. The western wall is lined with windows. The room is otherwise unremarkable. Audio diary of Dr. Anna Georgina Plume. Date and time unknown. I've been exploring the hallway. It's got four rooms like this part of the floor below it, and they all appear to be different offices. There's a door at the end of the hallway that leads to a large ballroom. It's a grand open space with large windows lining the top, much like Nana Plume's description. The floor is a black and white chessboard pattern with golden filigree pattern around the edges. On the back edge of the ballroom is a small stage. Like the rooms in the hallway, it is lined with ferns. There are about 10 round tables surrounding the stage. They have about 12 chairs each. I'm feeling tired again. I'm going to need to take a seat and rest. Me again, still here. There doesn't appear to be any way back down to the rest of the building, assuming I'm really on the third floor. So I guess I just stay here for the foreseeable future. There is a small room off to the side of the ballroom with a settee. I'm resting here. I do have Nana Plume's field notes with me, so I might as well read through them. June 5th, 1954. Sophia watches me work intently. No one, including her, has been able to tell me what she does around here, but they all seem to be on friendly terms. She is fascinated with my work, which is largely focused on the importance of community archive keeping. Over the years, the librarian of first the normal school and then the public school has kept great records about the community in Ellisfield, the daily happenings, the town's relationship with world events. I believe that my project will seek to reconstruct pivotal moments in the town's history with stories of the people of Ellisfield based on what I can find here. A.G. Plume Commentary. Nana's referred to this multiple times. She just never seems to be able to find it for me to read. Resuming field notes. The matriarchs seem to have come to terms with Arthur, though he is still uneasy around them. I did warn him that I come from a family of formidable women, but I don't think he understood quite what he was getting himself into. June 6th, 1954. All morning, I have been hearing heavy footsteps on the back stairs like an angry man is coming up to join me in the archives. Sophia has visited thrice, but she seems like she is looking for someone. The final time I saw her, I asked her about the footsteps. I am under the impression that the school is largely empty during the summer and the third floor is off limits to the general public. The only people supposed to be in the school are my mother and grandmother, whose footsteps I recognize, and the custodian, Mr. Francis, who walks with a limp, so this had to be someone else. Sophia did not answer, but instead she said, "Promise me you'll tell me if you see him." I don't know who he is, but process of elimination means it should be fairly easy to determine. June 7th, 1954. Last night, Arthur and I dined at Corelli's Italian restaurant on Main Street, and he mentioned that the past few nights he's had trouble sleeping, and he's been going for walks around the block. The night before last, he noticed the gate to the school was open. He saw a small light in the front window of the second floor and tried to look up to see who it was, when he noticed the light was moving. He thought it was someone inside the building with a candle. The whole matter is curious, but I must not let it distract me from my research. A.G. Plume Commentary. like grandmother, like granddaughter. June 8th, 1954. Collected notes from the record I have been able to piece together. On this day in the Ellisfield School, 1886, Algernon, last name illegible, gave a tour of his basement chemistry lab. Supporting materials, records in a ledger book from the front office. 1911, the high school orchestra gives a free concert for the community. Orchestra director Melvin Harvest is quoted saying, "I am especially proud of the work our students have put into this concert. Our violin section is the best in Northwestern Ohio, and the concert was welcomed warmly by members of the community. I foresee this becoming an annual tradition." Supporting materials. Newspaper story from the Ellisfield Gazette. A.G. Plume commentary. This was before the newspaper was renamed the Ellisfield Gazebo. Field notes resume. Further supporting materials. A program of the event and the annotated conductor's score. 1928. The inaugural series of swimming lessons in the sub-basement pool started. At 8 a.m. there was a swimming test to place swimmers in levels, and then the classes would continue on a weekly basis. There are 5 levels: complete beginner, novice, intermediate, advanced, highly advanced. Each class will meet 1 day a week at 1 in the afternoon. Supporting documentation. Flyers for the swimming lessons, records of enrollment, and the paperwork documenting insurance for the pool for lessons. Side note. It appears my father taught these classes. 1944. Community gathered in the front vestibule to listen to the radio to hear reports on the invasion of Normandy. Source material, ledger, personal journals. Side note, I remember this event. A.G. Plume, final thoughts. I'm starting to feel really tired again. I'm gonna rest some more and hopefully wake up to some answers.
A.G., where is she? She's nowhere on the ground floor. Why are the carousel lights on? She's not here in the basement. I should get out of here. A.G.! She's not in the archives. Not in the library. No. No. Anna Georgina, where are you?
Good morning.
Where am I?
There's a little alcove off the ballroom where I put a table for tea.
Ballroom?
There appears to be a question hidden in that statement.
Am I really on the third floor?
Yes, dear. You haven't left your home.
How?
I summoned you. Or requested your presence. Summon sounds so harsh, don't you think?
Then you must be...
Correct.
So are you a memory, or...
Let me tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was a brother and sister. Where he had faith, she had doubts. And yet, his faith bore him no ability. While, despite her doubts, she had abilities beyond his imagination. This, as you can imagine, created a rift between them. The rift would have deepened, yet tragedy struck, drawing them together. And all the while, his resentment was silently growing. In spite of this, she felt she could not leave him behind. And so he followed her, a leaden weight around her ankle, pulling her down wherever she went. She hated to admit this much, but it is true. And then one night, everything came to a head. Her abilities fully realized the rift between them would never be healed. As the years wore on, they both pretended nothing was wrong, but the simmering beneath the surface was soon palpable. When the unthinkable eventually happened, the tensions between them created a tether, allowing him to remain. Until he is gone, I stay here to keep apprised of the situation.
So that's a no.
I called you up here.
So the third floor still exists. How?
The school is an old friend. They remember. But I called you up here because you need to stop Algernon. As long as he is here, his pain is hurting the school, making them sick.
What do I do?
We've given you everything you need, but you have to act quickly. Check the records. The past has answers.
How are you able to be here? You're not like the others. You're real.
Let's just say I put myself into making this place what it is. So I decided to stay and keep an eye on the place.
What about the others? Helena, Elizabeth, great-grandma Vivi?
I hear their echoes, but it's not quite the same. Sometimes it is strong enough that it feels like I'm with them. That's really the best I can hope for.
Doesn't it get lonely?
I have Sophia. And you are bringing new life into the place. I can't keep you here much longer. Wait in the hallway until a staircase appears. It should take you back down to the second floor. Oh, and Dr. Plume?
Yes?
You already know half the story. You simply have to remember.
Audio diary of Dr. Anna Georgina Plume. Time is still meaningless. Still in the ghost third floor. Stairs still haven't appeared. Let me see if I can read another one of Nana Plume's entries while I wait. June 9th, 1954. I just looked up from my desk to see a man standing in the shadows watching me. He looked strangely familiar, his face a complete mask of anger but also pain. I froze, but before I could say anything, Sophia appeared, and in the split second that I looked away from him to see her, he was gone. She wouldn't give me any answer to who he was, though I am certain he is the man she had been referring to earlier. I do not know. A.G. Plume commentary. The entry trails off here. That would be the stairs. Well, I'm just going to head downstairs and start looking into the past like Lucy encouraged me to do.
AG, where did you go?
Stop Algernon. Need archives. Stop Algernon.
Let's get you into bed.
Need archives.
No, you need to rest. Anna Georgina. Hi, Duncan. Yeah, she's still asleep. No, she seems physically fine, other than just exhausted. I don't know where she went. There was no sign of her, and then she just showed up rambling incoherently. No need to come over. I can keep you posted. Yeah. What happened, AG? Where did you go?
Billy?
Hey, hello. How do you feel?
Tired, but I have work to do.
That can wait. Dr. Eldridge is coming in from Hayden's Landing to check you.
No, it's okay. Just let me sit up. Whoa.
Are you okay?
I may just close my eyes for a bit, see if the lightheadedness goes away.
Yeah, do that. Take your time. Where did you go?
Ellis East Elementary walk through, May 18th. There is one detail about the room that I omitted. The floor is painted like a tapestry with a unicorn in the center, in the style of the Middle Ages. It covers the entire floor and is varnished over so it remains undamaged. The unicorn sits under a tree with a woman sitting beside it. Medieval art is not my area of expertise, but I have only ever seen this motif with blonde women. But this woman has auburn hair and green eyes. The tree has purple flowers, and there is a border of blue and pink flowers surrounding the edges of the painting. The artist's signature is in the corner, and M. Basil. As there is nothing else to see here, I'm going to go up the hall and cross to the other side to classroom 2C. Lavender Evening Fog is a fiction podcast. This episode was written by Victoria Dickman-Burnett, direction and script supervision by Ben Baird, produced, mixed, and edited by Nick Federico, with additional editing by Victoria Dickman-Burnett. Executive producers are Ben Baird and Victoria Dickman-Burnett. The voice of Anna Georgina Plume is Victoria Dickman-Burnett. The voice of Billy is Nick Federico. The voice of Lucy Hobbs is Kat Falk. The Lavender Evening Fog logo was designed by Allison Dickman, and Ms. Bitey, our carousel opossum, was designed by Matt Lowe. This episode is brought to you by finding something unexpected in a place you've already looked. This episode pairs well with pu-er-tea blended with pistachios.